The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Every time I hear that verse, and probably will hear it a few times in the few weeks ahead of us, from the beginning of John's Gospel there, thank you, Martin, for reading it. Every time I hear that, it fills my heart with hope. The light, who is Jesus Christ, shines in the darkness of this messed up world and shines in the darkness of our messed up lives. And the darkness has not, and it cannot, and it will not ever overcome it. That is good news. And as we begin Advent together here, and as we set our sights forwards towards the future, and on the ways that we think that God is leading us as a church, it's good to have our hearts filled afresh with hope. And I guess that's why I love Advent so much, because it's all about hope. And it's all about the reason for the hope that we have. It's hope that's rooted in the belief that Jesus really, really did come on that first Christmas, and that he grew, and that he lived, and he died, and he rose again to life so that we can have life in all its fullness. That he really did come as that light shining in the darkness, a light that the darkness will never put out. And then at the same time, it's hope that's rooted in the belief that Jesus didn't only come over 2,000 years ago, but that he really, really will come back again one day, like the Sun of Righteousness rising, bringing the fullness of day and the full brightness of the glory of God, and that then the darkness will be utterly and completely banished. No more. And that is good news. And then there's more, because we're invited to not just be receivers of that good news of hope, but part of that good news. And the reading that we heard from Thessalonians said, you are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. And as followers of Jesus, who's the light of the world, we are children of the light, and we're carriers of that light into the world, shining that light, the light of Jesus, into the darkness. That's what this church has been doing here for generations, and it's what we're part of here today. And in each generation, there are fresh challenges and there is fresh blessing, because God is faithful. And he has always at work. And before we look forward together this morning, I just want to spend a few moments looking back, remembering how God has been leading us as a church in the last couple of years, and to praise him for his faithfulness to us in this generation. And I guess to do that, we need to begin with the word that we believe God spoke to us at the beginning of last year, when he showed us that we were a church with a withered hand, and that his word to us was, stretch out your hand. And that was inspired by the story of the healing of the man with the withered hand from Luke chapter 6. And Jesus saw this man in the synagogue one day, and he called the man to stand up in front of everyone and to stretch out his hand that was withered. And when he did stretch it out, healing and strength and blessing flowed. And as we prayed about that and about what God was saying to us, we sensed that he was inviting us on a journey with him. And so we became saints on the move. John came up with that, didn't you? Saints on the move together. And the first part of the journey, stage one, if you like, was all about stretching out our hand for freedom and for healing, getting real with God and with ourselves about our witheredness, and asking God to set us free from the things that were holding us back and the things that were just sapping our faith and our strength and our hope. And through that time, we saw God's grace at work in some wonderful and profound ways in the lives of individuals and also for us as a church. Some of you will remember the service of reconciliation that we had. Do you remember that? And we believe that that brought significant spiritual freedom from the past for us as a whole church. And we praise God for that. And then there was a pivotal weekend at the beginning of October last year. How many of you here came on the church day away? Oh, look, you do remember. I know it's nearly, well, it's over a year ago now, but there were almost 70 of us there. And we are so thankful for all that we shared that weekend. The sense of turning together to listen to each other, to focus on the needs of our town, and to listen most of all to God. And through it, we entered stage two of our journey as saints on the move here, which has been all about seeking God's particular call and his particular direction for us as a church here at this time. As we stretch out our hands now, not so much for healing, although we continue to do that as well, but also to be a people who are bringing God's blessing to others. And what we're going to hear about in the next few moments is fruit from that day away together and of the process of prayer and of listening to God that's continued through this last year since then. So I guess you could say we are now getting ready for stage three of Saints on the Move as we journey together and as we focus in the specific directions and on the priorities that we believe that God is calling us to as a church. Now, I have to say, it all sounds wonderfully organised and planned, talking about stage one, stage two and stage three. But in fact, it's been a journey that has been shaped and paced by God that we've just discovered step by step. And it's always easier to see looking back than it was looking forward. And we're so thankful for God's grace and his leading, for his patience and his timing, even if it's not quite what we think it should be some of the time. You know, he has been so faithful to us, and he will be so faithful as we move on. So I want to encourage you to be in good heart and to take courage. When we had the worship evening here, it was quite recently. When was it, Cara? A couple of weeks ago? Yeah, a couple of weeks ago. And a number of us gathered to worship God. And during that evening, we sang the song, No Longer Slaves. And as we were singing it, it was like God tapped me on the shoulder and he said, listen, Rachel, this really matters. And it's a song that we sang when we had our day away. And it seemed then to be the theme song for us as saints on the move, leading to us declaring we're no longer a church of fear, we are a church of God. Some of you will remember that. That doesn't mean, of course, that we are no longer afraid ever. We will be afraid. But it does mean that with God, we no longer need to surrender to that fear. And I think it would be really good for us this morning, before we turn to looking forward, to sing that song again now, to remember who we are as beloved children of God. So would you like to stand and we're going to sing together?
As Rachel said earlier, that song has been part of our Saints on the Move journey. Because of what Jesus has done for us, then we're no longer slaves to fear, together as a church and also as individuals. We're children of God. We're a church of God, which is wonderful. And we don't really get the whole of that. But let's hope and pray that we'll be finding out more and more what that means. So Rachel just reminded us about how we got here. And as she mentioned, as many of you will know, there have been lots of things since then that there have been sort of bubbling since. Things we've got involved in, things we might have got involved in, things we could be thinking of doing as a church. Ideas, suggestions. It's wonderful to have people here with so many things that they're they're eager to get involved in or thinking about or wondering about. And people are listening to God and saying, what about this? Could this be part of what God's doing with us? It's fantastic. And through that time, there have been three main areas that have kept coming up again and again. Three directions of movement, you might say. So we've got directions that we might go in. They're areas that God seems to be impressing on us, there for our attention at this time. And the names that we've come up with for them, because it seemed important to find a way of focusing down, have been children and families, and town connections, which is quite broad, but anyway, more of that, and then prayer and presence, and that's God's presence. And I'm going to go a bit deeper to think about each one of those. And unfortunately, we haven't got time to go very deep, but it's just a little bit deeper here to get us looking forwards to those different areas. So from before we came here, Rachel and I were aware that All Saints is a church which longs to see more of God's work among children and families. Clearly, this is now where God is calling us to focus particularly. We may tend to measure this in terms of families who are here in church on a Sunday, but actually there are so many more connections that we have with children and with families that are already happening in our ministry areas. We've been called to follow these up and to build on these more and more. Building what you might call kingdom ministries. Ministries that will bless families in the areas where they feel that they have needs, while also we are praying and making opportunities for them to get to know the one who will meet their deepest needs. There are lots of opportunities that we've got. We've got the families who come to Squeals on Wheels. We've got really good school connections through the Open the Book team, and also with assemblies and with lessons that we're doing out there and back here in church. And then there are people who come here to church and say, we've got a new baby. Can we have a christening? It's wonderful, those opportunities. And then there are those who are coming to things like the Easter extravaganza, the harvest hullabaloo, the lights on that we had last night, Friday night when the church was open. We've got a growing list of people who said, let us know when more things are going on. That's wonderful. So we have these opportunities, we have these families, and we see the needs of the town. And some people are very aware of needs that are with families because of contacts they have either through church or out of church. Teachers will talk about the many needs that there are in families across the board today. We have great opportunities as a church to look at things like supporting parenting or after school clubs. Or maybe even meals, when families who would normally have free school meals during the term time struggle during the holidays for food, for enough food, enough good meals. These are really great things that we can be looking towards. And we have to say that some of them don't quite fit in the facilities that we have now. And even that is exciting to say, wow, well, we need to do something about that. So there's just a dot where there's a whole lot more. But so exciting, the things, the opportunities that are there, the things that God is pointing out to us, and the way that we as a church can step forward, building on things we're doing already and growing into new areas that we haven't yet been doing. It's wonderful. Then we've got what we're calling town connections. Now, this is an area which kind of came to us quite as much as we went out looking for it. We've been aware of people, for example, who come on Friday to Open Door, and we realise we can't meet their needs just there in Open Door, or we don't really know what the next step would be. We don't know the best way to give them advice or the next step that they could take. These are opportunities for us to do something about that, to work out how we can, you might say, signpost people. We would love to be able to give people support that would really benefit them in their day-to-day lives, to be able to know how to point them forwards. Team Daniel grew out of that. Team Daniel grew out of a feeling that we as the church should stand up and say, we and God care. And there's something that God and we can do by the power of God to help in this town. It was particularly in focus after there was the meeting in this church where people were talking about the antisocial behaviour in the town. And people felt, we need to do something. So there are things that we would love to do, and there are opportunities unfolding. It's been amazing. People have come to us and said, what can you do about things? So we want to take courage and stand up and say, here are things that we can offer. Here are things that we can do. There's a guy called Phil Morton who's from Derby City Mission. They've got funding from the government to actually go out and encourage people to prevent homelessness. And Phil's job is to encourage churches with government funding to help prevent homelessness. And he is really longing, and we really see how we could fit in with this, to have churches being hubs of knowledge about what is available so that they could train up churches. We could become a place where at certain times we're open. People who would find it difficult to go in and talk to the council because it's so formal or because they feel what puts them on the back foot, they could hopefully come to us and we could offer them the facilities, some things we can do, but more likely it'll be things that we're pointing out that other people can do or the next steps they can take. Really good opportunities there. And there's some very practical and it's seemingly small things which we're already getting involved in and which we discover there's any number of more possibilities. We've been aware of the community safety team from Ripley, who are a sort of partnership of the Amber Valley and the police, coming to talk to us. And Bethan and Marion had a meeting with them. And very simply out of that meeting came the fact that they wanted to give out the purse dipping packs. I meant to bring one, but they have a little bell on them to tie to your purse, and a way of stopping your purse from being taken away because it's tied on a lead to your bag. And they've said, can you help us to give these out? So as people were leaving after the lights on, we were giving them details of our next services and a Christian booklet, which, an easy read booklet, which was of Christian content with some children's stuff in it. And saying, if they're older generation people, saying, and do you want this, which the police, the community partnership are giving out. So we're helping them and practically helping people's needs, and there are lots more opportunities for things like that. We've got people who are eager to get involved, and it's great the opportunities that are beginning to unfold. And there are so many people we could partner with if we start asking the questions. We're seeing that already. We want to get involved in that again, all the time praying for people and longing for them to meet Jesus, but meeting their practical needs as we go about it. And then prayer and presence. Now, this is absolutely vital, because as we're looking for things that we might be doing, everything must be birthed out of prayer, out of a knowledge that we're completely reliant on God, and what we do must be done in His strength, knowing that it's part of His mission. It's not our own mission. It's God's mission. There's a whole lot there about being before we go out doing. We want to surround this with prayer, something we're going to think about more, praying individually and praying as a church. We need to be aware of God's presence and to long for more and more of the empowering presence of God's Holy Spirit. Yes, as we worship, but in every step we take out there, in every walk that we make from one place to another, God's empowering presence with us. We long for more of that. We long to see what the Holy Spirit can do in our church and out there in Ripley, in our day by day, one by one lives. The Spirit is with us. His presence is with us. We're longing for more of that and to just get more familiar with that as a church, knowing who we are in Christ, knowing we are loved children of God with the Spirit dwelling in us. And so that is at the centre of the diagram. It needs to be at the centre of what we're doing. We mustn't forget it as other things take off, as we get busier maybe. We must make sure that the source of our energy is our connection with God. It is at the heart of everything. We need to be worshippers. We need to be spending time in prayer and in God's presence. So there are three directions. And over time, we've talked to you sometimes about the sort of three directions of healthy church: up, in, and out. And if you think about these, well, there's a couple of them which are definitely out, and then our connection with God, that's up, connecting up to God. So we're missing something here, as we have it now. We're missing that in. But that's okay, because we have this block appearing underneath. And and we need to be focusing in, and we're calling this building the body. We need to be built up. We won't be able to keep stretching out, which is what we know we're called to do, stretching out in mission. We won't be able to keep encouraging each other in the church, in fact, to pray and to dwell in God's presence, if we're not healthy as a church, if we are not a healthy part of the body of Christ. So alongside the other things that we're doing, we want to focus on our health as a church and be sure that we are being built up. And this means encouraging things that are happening already, like home groups, and taking those opportunities to learn and to grow together. It means building up the church with spiritual gifts and seeing, because they're there for the building up of the body. So seeing where God leads us there. It also means the way we care for each other, pastoral care, as we call it. And we're really encouraged that Val and Irene have got together, both people who have pastoral care on their hearts. And they're really excited about enabling more care for the church within our church community. And it was just after the Team Daniel Sunday that they got together and they said, we're going to be Team Barnabas and get together a Team Barnabas of other people who will care for those in the community. It's really wonderful to see what God is doing. Barnabas was the disciple who was called that as a nickname because he was a son of encouragement. That's what it means. And then there's another building block under here as well. Oh, there's that building block, which is orange. And, well, you see, we've identified God's ministry, the ministries God's calling us to, but we see that some of them are limited by our current building, however wonderful it is. We don't have places where we can meet privately with people. We don't have places where things can get messier without worrying that glitter and food are on the carpet. There may be a little bit of that right now, but that's because of what we did on Friday. We don't have a way of inviting people in for one-off, come in, let's talk, or regular meetings if they need the space of the church that might be used for a funeral or something. We don't have space for that sort of thing. So it limits us in what we can offer people. Or if squeals is going on and somebody comes to the door who's in need, actually everywhere's used up. We need somewhere else. Basically, we don't have what we need. I mean, even prayer. We don't have anywhere which is set aside for prayer all the time and always available if somebody comes in wanting to pray. So we need more room. And we also have that space next door. And we need to build. Build to match what we are identifying are the things that God is calling us to in the time ahead and the needs that those ministries will reveal to us. We've had some discussions in recent months about the next phase of the building and the possibilities of what we'll do next door. We're kind of rebranding that Team Nehemiah, because there were some teams appearing. Nehemiah was the one who rebuilt Jerusalem after the exile, and it just seemed a good name to call it. And we trust that we are about to sell the hall. We have discovered any number of reasons why you could end up being delayed in selling the hall, from bats to drainage to who knows what, but we really feel we're getting there now, and that it could be that in the new year, it should be that in the new year, we'll be in a position where the hall will be on the market and we will be concentrating on this next exciting step of building next door. It says building the beacon. Rachel, do you want to say something about that?
Yes. The beacon. Why the beacon? Well, it's simply because there's been a number of prophetic words and pictures about this new building and the mission and ministry that it's going to enable, being like a beacon of hope in this town. That's quite good at Advent, isn't it? It's a beacon of hope. One was very specifically a clear picture of a massive Belisha beacon. Do you know what a Belisha beacon is? The ones that are by Zebra Crossing. And it was standing hundreds of metres high with a huge globe on the top of light shining out so it could be seen from everywhere all around. And then this huge wide zebra crossing leading to it. So a safe place for people to cross, and then a safe place for people to come. So many people are so desperate for hope, aren't they? And so that is why we're thinking of it as the beacon. It's just hoping and trusting that it really will become a beacon of God's light and God's love and God's hope in this town. I love that picture.
Yes.
this is a new song.
We'll get used to it, yeah.
Anyway, the beacon.
Yes. So that's the shape of things. A little bit of up, in, and out, and in a new building in due course, that sort of in. Notice that the arrows in our picture go both ways, and this is on purpose. We're reaching out and we're receiving in. We are going out to the town, and we're also welcoming people in, into the church, into the beacon. And we are, through it all, reaching Godward. I love that word. Reaching Godward and also receiving from him. This needs to be in every part of what we're doing. So actually that arrow goes through everything. It's part of all that we do to be reaching towards God and receiving from him. In the new year, we will be getting teams together. Some teams are already in motion, as it were. Other teams are new teams that we'll be drawing together. And we'll be setting some times to pray. So be thinking, where do you want to be involved? Where can you be part of this? They are quite broad areas, if you look at them just like that. And we're not that huge many of people, but we are going to go one step at a time. We are starting where God's brought us to here, and we're going to take it step by step, focusing on just a couple of things at a time in each area, probably. The main thing seems to be that God is saying all these areas are important to us as we head forward, and we mustn't get them out of balance. They all have an importance. We need to be focusing on each one, giving them equal priority, because this is the shape that God is calling us to be now as we shine his light in the darkness.